Good morning out there in Radio Land. We hope that you all are safe and sound, and we've covered a lot of people in prayer. The storms yesterday, they were rough, but the Lord is still good. This is still the day that He has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So it is May the 9th, Thursday, May the 9th, and this is Thursday, so we have Brother Greg in here with us, our Thursday co-host, and again, Pastor Aaron. If you haven't tuned in any other days this week, he's on vacation, so we pray that he's having an awesome time and just a well-deserved time with family to get away. So we miss him. He will be back next week, and we're just carrying on with the Lord's business while he's gone. So how are you, Greg?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm good. I am good. I'm thankful to be safe, and I know these storms that have been rolling through have done a lot of damage to people's homes and their properties, and I'm just thankful to be safe and sound, and that the Lord has been with me. But I do want us to pray for those who have been affected by the storms, because I know I don't know if there was any tornadoes that actually touched anywhere in these counties, but I do know we were under a watch for a while, and we had a lady here from our church that was her house was affected by this, so we want to make sure to lift her up in prayer, and don't want to get into too many details, but the lightning had struck her house, and we just want to lift her up, that this can be very a hard thing to go through, and we've had other people walk through this too in our church, and it can just be very heartbreaking, and we just want to lift them up in prayer, lift this family up in prayer, and believe for the body to be the body, and reach out in any way that we can to be able to help. So let's lift up this family right now in prayer before we get into announcements. So, Lord, we just lift up this family, Lord, that's so dear to our hearts and we know are so dear to your hearts, Lord. We don't understand when these things happen. Lord, I don't understand why, but, Lord, we still choose to believe that you are sovereign, that you are trustworthy. Lord, we trust you. And we know that you are still good, even in the midst of bad things happening, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would change our perspective from a natural view, Lord, and a carnal view of these things, and that you would allow us to see things from a higher view, in the spirit, Lord. And as our minds are washed with the word and renewed by the transforming of our mind through the word, God, I just pray that you would be with this family, that you would surround them, that Lord, that you would send ministering angels to comfort them, but also, Lord, you would give them that wisdom that you gave Daniel, Lord, that you would give just guidance and wisdom to get through this and navigate through this new season, Lord, and just give the body the grace and the guidance on how to best help this family, Lord. And we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, Brother Greg, you got any announcements? I'll get into
no, like normal. If I did, I wouldn't know what to say. I'm terrible with remembering things.
I think you had an announcement one time, maybe.
Yeah, it was the day after my wife's birthday. I announced her birthday. And, but no, I don't have any announcements that I can think of right now. Mother's Day's coming up. So
yes, it is. It is.
Get ready for that, I guess.
Yeah. Honor. Hey, that's a commandment. Honor our mother and our father.
Yeah.
So, well, we do have the Bethel Women's Tea coming up Saturday, May 18th at noon. That's here at the Bethel Fellowship Multipurpose Building there, not in the sanctuary, but the other building. If you've not been here on campus. So it will be a great time. There will be a time of tea and devotion, and lunch will also be provided, and Crystal Taylor will be the speaker for this. So excited for that. She has a powerful testimony. She has walked through a lot in the past year, and the Lord has been with her. So just excited for her testimony of overcoming cancer. And I don't know if that's what she's going to be talking about, but I'm sure that it will come up. And even if she doesn't, it's just to hear somebody's encouraging word and know what they've walked through just shows us in a whole new light and gives us that respect of, wow, Lord, you're an awesome God. So it's going to be good. May 18th at noon. And then we also have the Zachary Capps Tent Revival in Litchfield. That will be June the 7th through the 15th, 7 p.m. nightly there. And there will be Zach will be there the 4th, the 7th through the 12th. Clifton Potter will be there the 5th and the 5th through the 6th. And Mike Faree will be there June 13th through the 15th. So that's right there in Litchfield across the street from the hospital. And it will be a great time. And then we also have the I Am Tent Revival. And that will be some of those same dates there. Looks like they're starting a day earlier than that other revival. But this one will be in Eastview. And the I Am Tent Revival, it will be June the 3rd through Sunday, June the 9th. So that's a Monday through a Sunday. 7 p.m. nightly, fast time, so 6 central time. And this will be at 304 Hoover Hollow Road in Eastview. This will have Brother Christopher and Tasha Edwards from Fresh Fire Ministries. Brother Whitney Ward will be joining them. Brother Chris McGuffin, Brother Billy Curl, and Brother Jeremy Paul. So for more information about this revival, you can text 270-735-6516. And they said to bring a chair. So, amen. The I Am.
That sounds like it's going to be pretty hot over there. Sound like some pretty good ministers.
Yes, yes. So, looking forward to that. I know Miss Lisa's looking forward to it. She's been praying for the Lord to move and revival to come her way, and that's exactly what He's delivering. So, and then also we have the Heritage Messengers in concert. Memorial Chapel of God, they are having this Heritage Messengers music group. And for more information, you can text 270-418-9275. And this is Pastor Mike Biggs. And this is 43 Church of God Road, Custer, Kentucky. That is that address. So if you need the address, you can go to our events page. Or for more information, you can contact 270-418-9275. So those are all of our announcements that we have. And then again, remember that there is Art in the Park coming up here. And I believe, let's see, my paper is out there. Or I could have had that date for us here easily. Let's see. Well, I can announce it. We do have Miss Leslie coming on with us. She's coming on for the guest segment here, and she will be talking about it. So we will get those dates out. I don't want to give a wrong date. I don't have it right here in front of us. So, but we're excited for that. Miss Debbie came and talked to the kids here at the school, and there's so many different ways that people can come and support the community and support the Food Alliance that's feeding so many people. I think sometimes we forget that we have that in our county, that is being the hands and feet of the Lord, feeding people, training people, helping people that have been in just the low of the low situations get back on their feet, helping people who just need a little bit of help. So we're excited for that, and that is coming up. So Leslie will be talking about the music part that she has to play in the Art in the Park right there in Litchfield as well. So I think that's all of our announcements. If you all have any announcements that you want us to get out there, then you can text me at 270-589-7933, or you can call and leave a message, and we will get back with that and get it announced. 270-257-2689. So that's all we have for announcements, and we can get into Daniel a little bit early this morning. Hallelujah.
Sounds good to me.
That's rare. That's rare on here. But yes, we are going to just continue to keep that family in your prayers, definitely, with this freshly happening. And we really appreciate it. And I know they will appreciate it. So, all right. So we are, got my tab here, Daniel chapter 9, verse 6. But we are going to go back to 5 because they kind of go together and start there. So do you want to read this for us, Brother Greg, starting in chapter 9,
oh, yeah.
verse 5?
How far do you want me to go? Do you want me to read all the way to 10, or you just want me to just, and then we'll go back and break it down, or how do you want to do it?
We can do it little by little if you want to. You can read verse 5 and 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. So Daniel here, he is confessing, you know, for the sins of the nation, you know, and he's, you know, he's just, he's petitioning for grace and forgiveness here, you know, is what he's doing. He's confessing everything and just, yeah.
My study notes on verse 5 points out the fact, and I think it's an important fact, that Daniel actually was very faithful to the Lord, but yet he's still including himself in this.
Yeah.
And I think that is just shows the humility that he had, because honestly, if there was anyone in the people that could have said, like, I've listened, like, I followed what the Lord's had me to do, it would have been Daniel. But he says here, we have sinned. And it says in my notes, 4 times in the chapter, Daniel acknowledges the people's sin, but always includes himself in their number. As with all great leaders, he identifies himself with his people.
Well, and you know, you think about it. I'll just take America, for instance, you know. I'd not say that I'm committing all the sin that's taking place that's in here, you know, but I'm still affected by everything that's going on around, you know. So when I think Daniel, as far as this goes, he sees the affliction that the Lord has placed, you know, and he's confessing, you know, and and, you know, it goes back to, you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, I can't remember how it goes.
Yeah, but I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land.
Yeah.
And it has me thinking about this idea, too, of us being connected because, you know, we're all many members, one body.
Yeah.
It
says, this is 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So right here, he's humbling himself. He's praying, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So, you know, and that's, again, David, I'm as bad as this. Daniel, you know, he is, again, following the word of the Lord, you know, and he's humbling himself.
Yeah.
And he is, of course, you know, he's confessing his sin. Now, I don't know what wicked ways he was going, but he's turning from, you know, the ways of the land.
He's not going to repeat anything that had been done. And, you know, with that idea of the many members, one body, it has me thinking about this. I'm reading a book right now, The Power of the Praying Wife, and it talks about how in a marriage, you know, you're connected, you're one. So if you just decide you want to give up praying for your spouse, specifically like it's talking about the wife praying for her husband, then we need to pray for ourselves. We need to communicate with the Lord, and we need to pray for our spouse, because if we only pray for ourselves, then that's only half that's being covered because we're one.
Yeah.
So we're still going to be affected by the lack of prayer that we are doing. The lack of prayer is actually affecting us. So, you know, he wants us to have that love to pray for our land, to pray. And I think that same principle applies to the church because we're many members, one body. So if we are, you know, neglecting to pray for the body as a whole, the globe, the remnant, then we're going to be affected by whatever's going on in the remnant. Even if we're just praying, you know, it's just us and the Lord, we're just worrying about, you know, our own walk. We need to worry about our own walk, but we do have a responsibility to pray because we are going to be affected by that lack of prayer. So I just really, that reminded me, and I feel like connected to that. Let's see, we had a message come in through the box too. Someone said, Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, but that was to an entire church. Amen.
Yeah.
That's true. And we are, yeah, we're just called to do that. So we can continue here. I don't want to get caught up on just one verse, but I did want to cover that. So.
Well, I think it's important, you know, because again, you know, this part of Daniel, you know, is talking, it's kind of, we're in the middle of the end time prophecy and this and that. So I think it's, I say we're in the middle of the things that was going on in his time, which is like a type and shadow of end times, you mm-hmm. know, and we learned, and of course, now there are end time prophecies here too. But, you know, this right here also is showing, how to get through in those situations, mm-hmm. you know. So when things are looking bad, when things are just terrible around, you know, we should humble ourselves and pray, you know, because one thing is for sure, just like the Hebrew boys is thrown in the fire, you know, as long as we trust in the Lord, the fire will burn, but it won't touch us, you know. He will see us through whatever that is, and we'll come out not even smelling like smoke. So,
amen.
But it does take faith and trust in the Lord, and getting past ourselves, denying ourselves. You know, that's
the hard part.
The hardest part, yeah, is to deny ourselves because, you know, when things ain't going our way, it's, you know, it's hard to see past whatever's in our way, you know, but mm-hmm. if you think about every time mistake that we made or whatever, what was the driving motive? Selfishness.
Yeah.
All right, speaking for myself.
We see that with a child, because I think that's why he talks about to not be babes in the, to continue to grow and mature in mm-hmm. the faith, because if you think about it, young babies and children, they are only focused on themselves. They don't know any better.
Yeah.
They don't know to put themselves, to die to themselves and put others before. So it's like a spiritual
growth.
Infant. Yeah. And we need to grow into that. So, mm-hmm. well, verse 6, he goes on to say, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. So, I had here that, you know, not only did the people not keep God's commands, so they didn't keep God's commands, but also they would not listen to a man's voice speaking God's truth. Yeah. So they wouldn't listen to either. It's like the Lord's like, okay, you're sinning. I'm going to send my servant to speak to you. And then they won't listen to the servant either. So, and I did, you know, note in my notes that then God did speak primarily through prophets.
Yeah.
But today we have this word because they didn't have this completed word at this point.
Yeah. And this reminds me, we're doing this kind of group Bible study in Mark. And it was just talking about this in Jesus spoke a parable. I think it might be in 9. I can't remember what it was at, but he spoke a parable. He's talking about when the owner of the vineyard left, and he sent his servants after the husbandman. You know, he sent his servants there to testifying. Well, each one they beat and they sent you know, they sent them back hurting or they killed them or whatever. And finally said, well, I'll send my son. Surely they'll listen to him. Well, they ended up killing him. So this is the same, you know, when Jesus was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, yeah. which he was just calling them out, you know, still going on in that day. They, you know, rewind all the way back to Daniel. You know, it's the same things going on. People, they go their own way. And it's just, it all goes back to selfishness and what they can do for, or what we can do for ourselves. You know, I want to make sure to lump myself in there too, because I'm same as everybody else. And it's an everyday battle that we have to trust the Lord in, and he sees us through these things, you know, and just pray that he will reveal that selfishness in us, you know, because only he can reveal that to us. You know, if we could fix ourselves, we wouldn't need him.
Amen.
The fact that we can't fix ourselves, we have to trust and rely on him to reveal these things in us. And that way he can fix us.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's go. Let's keep moving along here. I'll read verse 7 for us. So, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel, that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. So, this is starting to talk about what the Lord is doing. He's sending these things. He is judging, and he's righteously judging.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what actually my heading in my Bible says. Do you have anything for that, Greg, before we move on?
Well,
I think you kind of need to read on.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we should just go ahead and read on, and then we'll kind of lump it all together or tie it all together.
So, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, page turn, princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he has set before us by his servants, the prophets.
Well, you know, this is, again, just kind of paralleling to the end times and, you know, what Jesus talked about. You know, this is all these people he's describing here are just going their own way, you know, and doing their own thing. They're not listening to the Lord. And, you know, if we remember in Matthew chapter 24, he talks about, you know, it'd be like in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and giving in marriage, marrying and giving in marriage. I mean, they was just living their own life, doing their own thing, going their own way. And again, we've talked about in the past book of this, we talk about Daniel. In Daniel, we've been talking about the beast system and mm-hmm. everything. Well, you know, and right here is describing these, all the people going their own way. They're totally ignoring the Lord. They're doing what they want to do, how they want to do it, when they want to do it. And then, so this goes back to whenever I was talking about the last time I think I was on here, I was talking about the book of Ecclesiastes,
mm-hmm.
about men without God. They go their own way. They do the only thing. They are, let them know that they are beasts. And so this is, you know, what the Lord revealed to me as far as the beast system is. It's just a man's system without God, you know. And then, so, you know, in I think it's Romans or Corinthians, it talks about in the last days the creator or the creation loves the creation more than the creator.
Yeah.
You know, and men, and then Timothy talks about in the last days the men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God.
Mm-hmm.
So all that plays into this is, you know, is this basically just the simple gist of it would be man doing what men want to do and not what God wants to do. And that's, you know, that's the bottom line of it. And then now you can break that down into going wherever, mm-hmm. but that's the gist of it, is they're not listening to the Lord.
Yeah.
they're listening to themselves, and then so then you have their imagination going wild with their doctrines and, you know, and all these things with the church and all that that's going on that just keeps continue to erode and drive them farther and farther away from the Lord.
Yeah. And that's the key here is neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord. That's the key. That's why all this is happening. Though we have rebelled against him. But it talks about to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness even though we have rebelled against him. That's powerful right there. Yep. And I had this question come up in a commentary I was reading on this of how did God show himself merciful when he punished them so severely? And the answers that they gave here were really good. Number one, because it was less than their sin deserved, for it was rebellion. So it was rebellion, but he still had mercy on them because sin, the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Death. And, you know, death ended up coming, but he still had mercy and gave them chance after chance to repent. And real quick, I'll kind of summarize the two other answers. The second answer was because their punishment was God's chastisement to which his people is an act of love and mercy because who he chastises, he loves. And Hebrews 12 tells us that. And then because God preserved them in their captivity and delivered them from it, they therefore that pray to God under their sin and misery must eye God's mercies as well as his justice. For, let's see. Oh, okay. It gives a scripture there. Psalm 2:1 and Corinthians 2:7, wherein Satan would be too hard for us, as well in dedolency or want of godly sorrow. So, and then it gave Psalm 2:1 as well. So that's true because, I mean, he could have punished a lot more severe than he did.
Well, I would say this, you know, if the punishment, you know, what if he just didn't do anything? You know, you talk about a severe punishment. What if he just let them go their own way? That would be the most severe punishment, is just to, okay, let them go. I mean, that's what he did with Esau. Jacob, who I love, Esau, who I hated. What did he do with Esau? Esau was blessed, but he never spoke to God. God never, you know, he let Esau be Esau. He sold his birthright for his belly. Yeah. He just went his own way. He filled himself while he was here. And that was it.
Yeah.
So the fact that the Lord was so patient with them, you know, by sending correction after correction to turn them back to him, that shows that his grace and mercy right there. But we're, again, we're just all selfish, you know. It's like, oh, man, I'm having all these bad things happen to me. What's going on here? Well, maybe the Lord is trying to get you to look at him.
Yeah.
Because at this time, you're not looking at him, you know. So we go through these things to grow us, to teach us, and to chastise us sometimes if need be. Not saying that every bad thing happened to you is a chastising. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is to trust that the Lord is for you. He's not against you. He's not tearing you down. He's building you up. But it hurts sometimes. Oh, we got to go to break. I'll make this quick. We build up walls that he tears down, and that hurts sometimes so that he can rebuild. All right, go to break.
That's good.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's true. That is really true. So, yeah, we're at this first break. We are going to read our first Thursday question. Number one, where is my paper? I was going to, different questions are sponsored by different partners. I know that one partner that we have is Sicilian Bank, and so we'll do this one for Sicilian Bank. So Thursday question number one, sponsored by Sicilian Bank. According to Nahum, what city was attacked by soldiers in scarlet uniforms and carrying scarlet shields? According to Nahum, what city was attacked by soldiers in scarlet uniforms and carrying scarlet shields? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right. right, we are back here after that break, and yes, thank you to the Bank of Clarkson. Thank you to all of our Box 2 Radio business partners for making this ministry possible to reach souls and more souls. And we did not get an answer to that trivia question, so we need those phones to be ringing with a answer. Again, I'll read that question before we get into the Kingdom Corner. According to Nahum, what city was attacked by soldiers in scarlet uniforms and carrying scarlet shields? According to Nahum, what city was attacked by soldiers in scarlet uniforms and carrying scarlet shields? 270-257-2689 is the number you can call in to get your name in that trivia pool to be winning a, whenever we draw that, it will be the prize will be a book called Hanukkah, a blueprint to the Antichrist. So it has a lot of good stuff in there, recommended by Miss Gretchen. So that will be good and goes along with what we've been talking about in Daniel. Yep. So, yeah. All right. Well, it's time for this Kingdom Corner. We're going to get into this, and it is Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 through 13. This is the alabaster jar, the anointing for Jesus' burial. So that's which there's several anointing, stories like this. There's a few different ones, but this is the one that was anointing Jesus for his burial. So now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment. And she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for my burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." So here the line that in this that sticks out the most to me is that you will always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me. The fact that Jesus said this speaks to me personally that he will show up places after his ascension, but not always, because he wouldn't have said, "You won't always have me with you," which he is definitely talking about physically. He's talking about cherish this time that I am physically present with you right now, because it's not going to be the same after I ascend. It's going to be even greater with the works of the Holy Spirit, but it was a special honor to be able to be physically present with Jesus.
Yeah.
So he talks about that, but what the Lord was speaking to me through this also, and, you know, you all could correct me if I'm wrong, but when he says, you will always have the poor with you, but won't always have me, it was speaking to me about the fact that he won't be everywhere. Like, the Lord's presence is everywhere, but Jesus, the manifest presence of Jesus, he's not welcome everywhere on this earth.
Yeah.
And especially in, you know, I think in the church, we think sometimes that just anytime there's a church, Jesus is automatically there. That if we're at a church, then Jesus is going to be there. But I just don't personally think that's true, because if it's a place that's not practicing the word, if it's a place that's not preaching the word at all, and preaching false doctrines, I don't believe that Jesus is going to be there. So that's just, you know, what he was speaking to me, and also just about grieving the Holy Spirit, which is kind of a branch. It's kind of an application off of this text that he was showing me, not, you know, exactly what this context is talking about. But he used this and what he said to them to just get me thinking about being grateful for his presence, being grateful for the time that we get to spend with him when he is physically with us. Because I believe that there's times that Jesus himself, you know, the Holy Spirit's living inside of us, and God's presence is everywhere. So we establish that his omnipresence, he's everywhere, but I don't believe Jesus is always everywhere.
Yeah, he was a man of, he was manifested in the flesh. God in the flesh, standing right there in front of him. That's something that we don't get. You know, they, like, they could hug him. They could shake his hand. They could play Scrabble with him. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, that's something that, you know, just a few got to experience, you know. And, but now, you know, I'm sorry, I'm stealing your corner. Go ahead.
No, you're, yeah. Not, you're not stealing it. The corner's, the kingdom's for everybody.
Yeah, okay.
But here, I do, it just had me thinking about after he ascends and how we take his actual presence for granted. Mm-hmm. Because there's times, and we can all notice in our life, those of us who have a relationship with Jesus, that there's times that his, we know he's there. Like, there was a time I was worshiping and I was just by myself at the house, and I felt a touch. Like, I felt a touch physically on my body as I was worshiping him and just pouring out. And I believe it was Jesus. Like, I couldn't see Jesus. I couldn't, but I know it was him. Mm-hmm. And I physically got to feel a touch from him on my back. And that's just not an everyday thing. If that, yeah, makes, like, that's not something that happens 24/7 all the time, you know. And that just reminds me of, you know, what these disciples got to experience, because even after his ascension, he did come back and he appeared to them. And there's something just special, and it changes you when you're literally touched by him.
Yes.
Or when you have an encounter with Jesus. And I think that we take that for granted sometimes. But this lady, she got it right. She was like, I'm not passing up this moment. I'm not going to miss out on this. And she was obedient in fulfilling the task that had to be done. But she also gave him the best of the best of what she had.
Yeah.
And she cherished it. And you know, Jesus says here, like, she's going to be remembered for this. So this was significant. This was really significant. And I have a lot more here that I could talk about that I actually wrote down, but I do want to just want to say that this can speak to our, to me, this is speaks to me about worship, our worship, and our obedience to him. And worship isn't always just singing and playing music. That's not all that worship is. Worship is that radical obedience. I mean, this lady, she wasn't playing an instrument. She might not have been singing or anything. And I'm not minimizing those things because I love those things personally. But it's obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience. And that is what's worship. And here, why the Lord rebuked the disciples was because they were putting their own, they were criticizing her obedience. And that's between her and the Lord. Her obedience of doing that was between her and Jesus, and they were being indignant. And that word indignant is being angry at something that is unworthy. But we know this, in this stance, was not unworthy. They were deeming it as unworthy. They thought that this was unworthy for her to do this. But that's why Jesus rebuked them, because when we're obedient, it might look, it might not look right to some people. It might look odd. It might look different. But we have to listen. And I think the Lord does that on purpose. I think he allows those things that kind of break the box. Well, yeah. Break the box of Alabaster. I didn't mean to do a pun there.
Yeah.
But break the box of what man thinks should happen to get us where we're not always putting him in a box.
Yeah.
And putting what obedience has to look like in a box. And so it will always line up with the word, though. Anything he has us to ever do or say, whatever the obedience looks like, it will never be contrary to this word. And that's the beauty of the word, and why I'm thankful that we have it. So,
what I like about it is she went in there. I'm just assuming that the place was full, you know, had all the people sitting in there, walked through the crowd, broke that box, and poured it on his head in front of everybody. You know, that to me tells me she wasn't focused on anything in this world. Her focus was centered on Christ.
Yeah.
You know, centered on the Lord. And just, and that's where we need to be. You know, when we're centered on him, You know, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. If he's our center focus, if he's what we're focusing on, in him there is no disappointment. You know, so there, it's outside of him there is disappointment, you know, but in him there is no disappointment. So that's why he says to always focus on him and let him lead you through, because in him there is no disappointment.
Amen. And her worship was costly, because not only did that, you know, the mm-hmm. ointment cost a lot, but it costed her
ridicule. Yes. People saying, what are you doing, this and that. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so just to remember that, but it's worth it.
Yep.
It's worth it to get that moment with Jesus.
Yep.
So, and several moments with Jesus we get to have. So,
you know, and one. No, you're fine. Okay, so, you know, talking about going in and Jesus being there, you know, and when we go to churches and different things, well, you know, I want to say this, you know, and of course I know that you know this, and I just want to make sure that the listeners, some out there, you know, Jesus, you bring him with you. You know, that's what it is. You know, he is, the kingdom is within us. And, you know, when we go into a place, we're going in there to express our thoughts and our motives to the Lord. You know, he don't dwell in these buildings. You know, when we go to this church and we go to our things and whatever it is that we're going, you know, we're going there to express our feelings towards the Lord. That's worship. And when we're going there to do that, regardless of what's going on, I'm saying, well, I mean, I guess I don't want to. I'd say some wild things probably go on, probably keep you pretty distracted. But what I'm trying to say is that you should always go into that just looking for the Lord only. You know, regardless of who's singing what or how they're singing it, they could be singing it all for the wrong reasons. You know, but it doesn't matter if you're worshiping the Lord, because it's just between you and the Lord, and your thoughts and your intents of your heart between you and him, regardless of what's going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because this kind of reminds me of a conversation we had about a singer and a songwriter, and how I just disagree with, it's like the songs are just a little off. They sound really good, but they're just a little off, you know. And I was telling my boy about it, actually. And I said, now listen, just because I think this about this person, this, you know, the songs or whatever, that doesn't matter. As long as when you are listening to the song, it's just between you and the Lord, and you're worshiping the Lord, and you're understanding, and your truth to him, you know, just be real with him, and you're worshiping. That's all that matters, the thoughts and intents of your heart, not anybody else's. So I don't know why all that come out, but there it is.
Yeah, we actually had a conversation like this. There's a balance, because, yeah, you know, we want to use wisdom. We don't want to be led astray by anything.
No.
But at the same time, as long as something is, you know, biblically sound and not going anti,
yeah,
the Lord, even if it's maybe a little more surface level than,
yeah,
maybe something else that we would get something from, the Lord will speak through anybody, and that's the, yeah, most important thing. He can speak through a donkey,
yeah,
he can speak through anybody. And, yeah, we have to remember that. It's not, mm-hmm, about how eloquent Brother, yeah, Pastor Aaron likes to bring up that word. It doesn't matter how eloquent we speak. It doesn't matter how even knowledgeable we are. I believe that we can grieve the Holy Spirit and we can lose anointing by the pride, and the, yeah, pride comes in when it's about how well man can do it, how well man can perform, how well this. And the beauty is when we can use the strengths that God's given us for him, and we can let those, but it's not always he wants to speak through people who don't have that same level of speaking,
yeah,
or singing or whatever. He wants to speak through everybody, because everybody has an audience. Even if it's not on a stage audience, we all have people that are looking to us,
yep,
throughout the day. So, well, we kind of
be took, the light.
Yes.
Be the light.
Be, yep, the light. Be, yep, the light. So we're going to visit Isaiah. Was it
Oh, so, yeah, if you
we have like 5 minutes. So
okay, well, so back to Daniel, you know, was talking about in that question, talking about the chastising of the people, the punishment. You know how severe it was. Well, you can kind of get some direction in Isaiah chapter 10. It talks about how God uses the Assyrians, you know, as his rod. And start Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5. And it says, O Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff in their hand is my indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation and against the people of my wrath. Will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like mire in the streets? So these things, you know, God is doing these things to turn the people towards him. Because if you're not going to come to the Lord in the good times, you know, I mean, if you're not going to come to him in the bad times, you're definitely not going to come to him in the good times, you know. So it takes these hard times, these hard places, to get our attention. Hey, we need him. You know, we can't do it without him. And unfortunately, some people, they may never come to that. You know, it may get so bad that it, you know, it just may never come to that. You know, they may never see, you know. But anyway, which way, this, you know, God is sovereign, and, you know, I've heard us talk about him being mad in the Old Testament and then glad in the New Testament. Well, he was always full of grace and mercy, always. And talk about God's anger. Well, yeah, his people are sinning against him, and they're turning from him, and they're doing all these things. But, you know, in this whole situation, God is trying to get their attention to turn them from their wicked ways so that he can show them his good ways. But they're just driven by their own lusts and all these things. And of course, the end of sin is what? Death.
Death.
And yeah. So, but no, that's just a good one. I thought about maybe going in there and maybe reading a bunch, but just leave it to the listeners. If you guys want to read it, it's Isaiah chapter 10. You can just read the whole chapter, but it's just a good... idea of the principles of God.
Yeah.
How he operates, you know, what some people may look at God being mean to people is actually God correcting people. You know, yeah. It's just like, you know, whenever you spank your child, you know, you spank their bottom, it hurts them, you know, and it looks bad, you know, whenever you give a child a spanking. But it is to correct that child and afterwards, and you're doing that out of love so that they don't do that again. That spare the rod, you spoil the child. They grow up with no correction. They have no direction. If no correction, there's no direction. And they just bounce off of everything, whatever makes them feel good, this or that, you know. And I'm speaking from experience, you know, 'cause I sure did bounce around like a pinball, and until the Lord got me down and straightened me out, you know, over different things, this and that, you know, I'm so thankful. That's why David in Psalms, he praises God so much for his correction and his direction and, you know, his chastising, you know, and because Daniel is a man after God's own heart. Well, a man after God's own heart sure did mess up a lot, right? Well, but the Lord kept chastising, kept teaching him, and showing his ways. And
not only that, we talked about this last night. Bruce did a really good job last night teaching. And he talked about how David, and they actually talked about this in Sunday school, I think he said, the Lord honored and was merciful, extra merciful to Solomon because of his... relationship and his covenant, those promises that he made to David. So he respected his heirs. He respected his children and their children because of how strong of a relationship that God had with David. There was that respect there. There was that, you know, he was the man after God's own heart. And, yeah. and just seeing God's faithfulness there, that if it wasn't for David, that he would have had to do a lot. He had, would have had to do things differently, but he even continued to chastise and to correct his children because he loved David so much, and therefore he loved David's children.
And that's so. That's another point to bring out too about the children. You know, you look at all David did, but he wasn't a good dad much. If you study him out, he wasn't a good dad, and his children show it, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that's a lesson that could be learned there on David is, you know, for a lack of correction for children. You can see what that brings, you know. You know, a buddy of mine says, you know, even a bad example is still an example. If he's listening, he knows who he is. But yeah, even a bad example is an example. So, you know, we look at David and just kind of study out his history with his kids. Oh, gotta go.
We are at the heartbreak, though.
Sorry.
It just flies by.
Yeah.
Well, did we ever get an answer for that first trivia, Roger? Okay, I'm going to reread that. Let's get an answer for that first one. According to Nahum, what city was attacked by soldiers in scarlet uniforms and carrying scarlet shields? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here after that break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. And that first question must be stumping our listeners because we still haven't got an answer. So I'm going to go ahead and read that second question, and I know somebody can get this one. I feel a witness. Somebody's going to get it. What color cow was to be burned so that its ashes could be used in the removing of uncleanness? What color cow was to be burned so that its ashes could be used in removing uncleanness? 270-257-2689. I know somebody can get this one. 270-257-2689.
There
it goes.
Right, first one.
So that first one must have been challenging or something. So we have some Bible questions. And Miss Gail texted in and said, this would be the perfect time for Brother Aaron to call in the trivia question. Hope he's watching sunrises and sunsets over the ocean. Nothing that will draw you closer to Jesus than to take in the beauty of his creation.
Wow.
Amen.
I agree
with that.
Yeah. I know that reminds me of when I was on my cruise, I was just looking out at the ocean of how just foreverness it seemed like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, wow, you know, and how small I am. And then whenever I was in the plane looking out across the clouds, which is like another ocean in itself, you know, it's like, you know, just taking in just his creation and just wow, you know.
Yeah.
From perspective I've never seen before, you know, it was pretty neat.
Yeah. And I'm thankful for those things, you know, that they haven't always, people haven't always been able to see from that perspective.
Yeah.
You know, and we're able to. And
yeah,
yeah, I agree. There's something about an ocean. I was telling somebody this. I was like, the ocean just speaks to me, like,
mm-hmm.
like the science of it. That,
yeah.
that, like,
all the life.
That and like the tide,
mm-hmm.
the push and the pull, and the fact that it stays in the boundary line that the Lord created and it doesn't just
mm-hmm.
overflow and flood everything.
Like
the fact that it has the tide, it has the boundaries, it ebbs and it flows. I don't know, it's just, it speaks to me. So well, oh, Miss Gail said, just thinking about it makes me homesick.
Yeah.
So,
and Psalms 104, I think is what it is, it'll tell you about where he told it to go and stop and do all the things. So
yeah, I agree with that. Taking in the beauty of his creation does bring you closer to him.
Yeah.
It's a way to just connect with him more. But not worshiping, we're not worshiping the creation over the creator.
Mm-mm.
We're worshiping the creator
mm-hmm.
for giving us creation.
Yep.
So we do got an answer here. Who was that? Oh, Miss Lisa Ashbaugh. Awesome. So we got that answer. Now we need someone to call in the first one too. According to Nahum, what city was attacked by soldiers in scarlet uniforms and carrying scarlet shields? And then that answer for the second one was the Red Heifer. So she got that one right. The Red Heifer.
Yeah. Oh, Aaron, he missed out on that one.
I know it. Yep. I know it. Which, it is the book, and if anybody's ever seen his book collection, he has a lot of books to read, so
yeah.
This might not... this might be okay for him to miss this one. I don't know if they would even let him win it, but...
Yeah.
I would like to see some pictures from their trip, though. I think it's a good thing. I haven't heard much from him, but hoping that he's just unplugged.
And yeah, probably he's got his phone turned off.
That's good.
That's what I'd do if I was down there. Go sit on the beach with the phone turned off.
Yep.
Unless it's cold. I don't like it being cold. I'm a tropical kind of guy.
I know. That's what, well, which we'll get into the Bible questions, yeah. But somebody was talking about an Alaska cruise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go anywhere where it's cold.
Yeah, me neither.
How do you use the pool or anything?
Hope they got a good heater in that pool.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't even want to be out on the deck. I'd just be just,
yeah.
What's the word? Like an Eskimo, just trying to stay warm. So, all right. Well, we have some Bible questions here that we didn't get to. And let's see what those are here. So, it's taking me a minute to get to them. Bible questions. We need like a little jingle for our Bible questions. You know, like those little intros, like a mini intro.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. So here is one. I don't think we went through this one. So in the last days, will there be a simultaneous great falling away and a great revival in the church? So I don't think that we've went through this one.
I haven't heard that question, but so it talks about a great falling away in the book of Thessalonians. And mm-hmm. It's talking about the return of Christ. It says that day shall not come except there be a great falling away first, and it's a man of perdition be revealed. You know, that happens before Christ returns, it says. So I guess the great falling away, I would say you could piece that together, because you know, the return of Christ, the great tribulation, you know, if you don't come to him in there, then you're never going to come to him. So while people are falling away, there will be people coming too, because it talks about his two witnesses. And I know a lot of people think the two witnesses are Elijah and Moses, or Enoch and Elijah, or whatever, and that's, you know, that's another topic for another day. But it says these two witnesses are my candles, or my olive trees and my candlesticks, and they'll be clothed in sackcloth. Oh, we got an answer.
Okay, Gary Cox got that first answer, so congratulations.
Yeah.
We finally got it.
Yeah.
That answer was Nineveh. And so, according to Nahum, what city was attacked by soldiers in scarlet uniforms and carrying scarlet shields? It was Nineveh, found in Nahum 1, verse 2, and chapter 2, verse 3. So, awesome. We got both of those now.
Yeah. So, any which way, so as far as the falling away, you know, and talking about the two witnesses there, clothed in sackcloth, well, that means repentance, you know, and what did we just read today? If my people will call my name, will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So, with that being said, while this is going on and people are falling away, there will be people that are coming to repentance. You know, there's going to be people that are deceived, it says. You know, if it were possible, he would deceive the very elect. So there's going to be some very falling away by deception, you know, just being deceived into believing something that's not of the Lord.
Yeah.
So there's a way to fall away that way and being And then also just turn into your own ways. Just decided you just want to do what you want to do, and you make up your own righteousness, and you do it your way. We talked about that here in Daniel.
I think the way that I see the revival happening, because the question is, in the last days, will there be a simultaneous great falling away and great revival in the church at the same time? Is what the simultaneous.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that it possibly.
I definitely think that this is because when it talks about the, you know, the gospel being spread to the ends of the earth before Christ's return, to me, that is a great revival. I mean, the more, when the gospel is spread, there's going to be revival.
Yeah.
Because, no, not all will accept it, but many, I mean, several will. So as the things are getting darker, and it makes sense because the enemy's trying to keep that, he's trying to fight against that.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that these would happen. And then also, you know, it talks about the restrainer being there for the darkness, holding back the darkness. And many believe that the restrainer is the church. I would also agree with that, because that's why we're here, is to push back the darkness. So I definitely could see that, the restrainer growing, the church growing, and then the darkness, the falling away happening as well, because then we also see the separation of the sheep and the goat, and the separation of the wheat and the tares.
Yeah.
So these things, we see these things throughout, and any time that there's pruning, there's always more of an increase.
Yeah.
So when the Lord is like revealing who aren't the true, his true followers, and he's taking away from the church, there has to be revival, because when you get the
cream of the crop.
Yeah, the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
When you get the bad apples out, then you have the, you know, the revival. So
yeah, and you know, it's basically, there won't be a fence to ride. You're either going to be in or you're out, you know, and I see the fence coming down as we speak. You know, we got people and in and out, and, you know, but it's getting to the point where now, you know, there's really, I feel like that the fence, you know, you're not fooling anybody. If you are used to, you could fool people, but now I think the fence is so small now that there's, you know, it's getting easier to spot, I think. But now, as far as that goes, you know, if you, you know, in Revelation, it talks about the enemy overcoming, they overcome the witnesses. And, so there's going to come a time, and this is that one world order, you know, where, and then right before the return of Christ, because he says, we talked about, I think Aaron talked about it, was talking about Jesus's kingdom. The kingdoms of this world become the
kingdom.
His kingdoms. Mm-hmm. It'll become his kingdom. So there's going to come a time where they actually do rule for a season, you know, and this is that great tribulation period that we're talking about. But, and again, we look through it as a glass darkened, and and it's so easy to get turned around in that talk.
Well, Miss Gail, she texted in, when people turn from God, he turns away from them. He also gives them a strong deception in their own self-righteousness. Remember Pharaoh.
Yeah, he said give them strong delusion.
Yep.
Yep.
And also, let's see here. We had another question I want to get to. I guess I had written down on this one, save for Greg, because I thought maybe he would want to do this one. But the question was Paul's thorn in the flesh his eyesight?
Well,
so I guess I was just curious to see what you thought on that question that they had had.
You know, a lot of people's had that conversation, and we just got to all be real with each other. Nobody knows, you know, because he didn't tell us. But I know what my thorn in the flesh is, you know, and everybody has something, you know, that you've prayed that the Lord take, and he won't take it.
Yeah.
And it's there to buffet us and to keep us humble and to let us know that we can't do it without him, and that we have to return to the Lord for our daily bread, sometimes every minute, you know. So, yeah, I don't know that it's his eyesight. I don't believe it's his eyesight, because I mean, you take a man that can go through, you know, all the 40 lashes minus one, and do all the punishment and all the physical grueling things that he went through. I don't think that that the eyesight would be the thorn in the flesh. I believe that there was a issue that he battled within himself that he knew was sinful, and that he knew was against the Lord, and it kept him humble. It kept him from being puffed up to being, you know, hey, look at this, I'm finally made it, I'm perfect, I don't sin at all. Hmm. You know, so I look at that thorn in the flesh is something that's within us, that was within Paul, that he prayed that the Lord would take, is what he described, and he, you know, three times, and he said, my grace is sufficient. Hmm. You know, and I don't know how many times that I've prayed that this be taken from me, and my grace is sufficient. My mercies is new every morning. And I believe the Lord does that to keep us humble.
Hmm.
So
interesting.
That's my view on that, and that's, yeah. So, but hey, if it was his eyesight, it could be. I don't know. I just don't think it is. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it could also be deeper. Yeah. Not that, you know, eyesight can't be challenging, because.
Yeah. I cannot stand having to wear these glasses.
Yeah.
I used to not ever have to wear glasses. This really gets on my nerves.
Yeah. Miss Gail thinks it was remembering his past. He did have a poor eyesight, but God provided him with others to help him.
Mm-hmm.
So his past. I could see that too. I do think it was something in that realm of deeper. Like, it was something that bothered him. Yeah. And a thorn in the flesh, you know, that just showed, like, that there's pain associated with that. Because if you think about a thorn going into your flesh, that it's something that hurts.
Yeah.
It's something that the Lord won't take it, and it's a constant battle of, like, pain. I could see, you know, the past. I could see what Brother Greg's talking about. So, interesting.
Well, for me, the pain is that I've offended the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that hurts me more than anything physical, you know. And I think that, you know, as you read that, about Paul's thorn in the flesh, look at what he's talking about throughout that whole thing, you know, and he's talking, you know, a lot of his spiritual battles, and you know, it's what we go through and things that we wrestle with. You know, we wrestle not against blood, flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and these things. So yeah, all that stuff is, you know, is the way I look at that. And and because the physical and the carnal thing is temporary. You know, it's a vapor. But the spiritual is forever.
Mm-hmm.
And forever. It's never not going to be. And I think that's the thing that we need to be focusing on getting right.
Yeah.
Not this thing down here that's the vapor, your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to be gone one day. And but your spirit is forever. So that's what I focus on, because that's what counts.
God
is spirit, and
setting our
spiritual
sight on those things above, thinking on those things that are pure and holy, our mind, getting our mind eternally fed, laying up our treasures in heaven. There's a lot of scripture that supports that, to focus on those things of the spirit, those things of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that.
There's a price to pay for that too, because there's a lot of people are still, you know, they haven't got to that point yet, or what have you, you know. So the flesh cannot comprehend the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I found that I have to have a lot of grace with people, and hopefully they have grace with me, because, you know, I ain't perfect by no means, you know, but the Lord's working on me, so.
Amen. Amen. Well, we might have time for one more question, actually, before this break. If we can do it in 4 minutes.
I think so.
Oh, Miss Gail says, to forgive yourself is the most painful and difficult thorn to have.
Yep.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. Because condemnation comes in there,
mm-hmm.
fear, all sorts of things. Rejection, all these things. And yep. then just hatred, self-hatred. But I'm thankful that the Lord is just to forgive us of our sins, and he walks with us and helps us to even be able to forgive ourselves.
Yep.
And that's why I think it's important actually to have a good view of what true humility is. Not thinking of less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less.
Yeah. Dying to self. That's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not being selfish. That's the hardest thing, because, you know, that's who we are. So.
Yeah.
All right. What's the next question?
All right. So one more question before this break. Let's see here. Do the salutations in the epistles have a deeper meaning, or are they simply there to establish authorship?
All right. So I'm lost. I don't know what salutations.
So, like the intro of how the beginning of the letters, like when it would say, like, this is Paul writing from, like, when it establishes.
Oh, the writer.
Yeah, okay. Like the intro, the greeting. It's kind of like the greeting in each epistle. Mm-hmm. Do they have a deeper meaning? Because there are, like, there's times, like, let's go to an epistle. Just to get an example of how he starts these out. So, 1 Corinthians. I'm just turning to 1 Corinthians. When he starts this out, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and our brother, can't say his name, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both heirs and ours.
Theirs and ours. Yeah. So, you know,
theirs and ours. Yeah.
So I think he's just establishing who he is and who he's talking to, you know, and, you know, whether it be deeper, well, that just, you know, if the Holy Spirit shows you stuff, I mean, I'm not going to put a depth on this word, because there ain't no bottom here. You know, it's so deep that we can, like, I think, if we studied this and studied our entire life, I don't think we can just but maybe scratch the surface. You know, we can't get to the depth of this. So I don't know if there's a deeper thing. I've not been, you know, I don't have any revelation personally on it. But, God, you said something the other day that God does not waste, you know. So everything that is written, there is a purpose and a plan, a deeper meaning, whatever it could be, you know. But, again, I don't want to be... like, you know, I want to do like Aaron says, and I don't want to try to find a hidden meaning behind every word that's in the Bible, you know. So my thing is, if the Lord reveals something to us, you know, that's on him if he wants to do that, you know. As far as the salutations goes, I think that they're important to establish who he is and who he's writing to,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to
that's kind of my place. Answer. Yeah. Before we go to the break, what Ms. Gail said, these show love and concern for others, something we all need to show. Yeah. So I do agree with that, because he's always honoring. That's something with Paul, is he honors the people that he's with in these salutations. Mm-hmm. But also something that I see is knowing the author reveals a whole new historical context that can help us understand meaning of the text. So knowing who's writing, knowing the historical context, can help us to piece things together and end up getting new revelation. Maybe not revelation about the salutation, but revelation about the text. And something even that Greg said before we go to break, you were studying you were talking about genealogy,
mm-hmm.
and how that's often, you know, something that we might
not
see significance, but how you were starting to study out the names, mm-hmm. of the what the names mean. Is that right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think we could even, you know, we could take that same principle here with the salutations as well. Like even studying out the names of the people that Paul's mentioning.
Yeah.
Finding out who they were. I think it's more of a historical thing, but it can be a great addition and tool, because anything that's in here is inspired. Yep. So even the salutation. Yep. So it's definitely important.
Yeah. And that's that balance, you know, that we talk about, just being balanced, that, you know, if the Lord reveals it to you, then that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, we are at this break, next break, and we have both of our trivia questions answered. Thank you to Lisa and Gary, and you all will get in that next trivia drawing there. So we will be right back here after this break with Miss Les N. Downs here on the Box 2 Radio Network, Mornings with Box 2 Radio. All right, we are back here after that break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. It has been a great morning, and we are here.
Yay.
With Les.
Les N. Downs. Yeah.
So it's always a joy to have her on with us.
Absolutely.
I love her so. We love her so.
I love you so much.
And we should have got her. We should have got Power in Us on.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
But yeah. You have some more music coming
I
up.
I do. Waitlist on the Waves is coming out next Friday, May 17th. And it's really good. Just in time for pools to open and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
fitting for the season.
Absolutely. Yeah. Perfect timing, you know.
So talk about that a little bit. Now, we're having her on to talk about also Art in the Park, which
an amazing free event coming up next Saturday, May 18th, in the City Park, James D. Beville Park, and it's over on the side with the large parking lot across from the Aquatic Center, and yes. We'll have flags posting entrance ways, and it's a fantastic free event. I am in charge of the music of that day. We have a full roster, and it's just going to be good, girl. Okay. And we've got the stage set back in that grassy area, so you've got all that shade, and y'all can set up camp with a blanket and chairs, and, you know, there's free crafts for the little ones, and, you know, big ones, too. She ain't going to turn you away. And it's Jackie. That's putting it together for that every year. And she said it was kind of like a mixed media type thing because the theme of this year is abstract.
Mm-hmm.
So the tiny art, you can submit any of those. And I mean, it's just a fun thing to do with your little ones or with your friends, you know, have a girls' night together. And those little canvases don't cost nothing. I think that's why we do tiny art, because you don't really have to invest a whole lot in what you're doing, but it's just fun.
Yeah.
And it's expressive and creative, and, you know, we're created by a fantastic creator. So anytime you can just open yourself up and see what comes out. I mean, shoot, just squirt some paint on something, start smearing it around with your nose. I don't know. Like, just see what happens. But it's just, you know, it's an expressive thing, and you've got people that have gone to school to paint.
Yeah.
And then you got the rest of us that kind of just barely went to school. And, you know, you just, it's a great way to express yourself.
Yeah.
And it's a great time.
Talk about the music a little bit. Like, how does this work? What, I know that they've talked about maybe having some students come in.
Oh, yeah. See, the more students I can get involved, the better. Because I was a student here.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, eccentric and kind of just feeling like you don't belong for the most part because you're just different.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that I have traveled and lived and grown and matured, I've realized that different is a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're all unique and we're all different and we're all individuals and we're all made to just be ourselves. And the biggest lie of the enemy that I ever bought into is that we're supposed to be the same. And that I felt like something was wrong with me because I was different.
Mm.
And that's a lie. Something's beautiful about you because you're different. You know, that's what makes life interesting. I love embracing people's differences. Like, I mean, difference of opinion and things. Okay. Like, I've got mine. You've got yours. I'm not here to convince anybody of anything. I'm just going to live my life. I'm going to love you in a way. And look for the beauty in people. Look for the good in people. But this is an opportunity. The more students we can get involved, the better, that are creative and maybe a little eccentric or a little bit different, or they feel like they don't fit in the box, and you're like, well, the world didn't like it. God didn't make the world a box, did he? Yeah. It's not a box, is it? So.
Well, awesome. Is there, yeah. Do you all already have the music, the, what is the word?
Like the lineup for who's playing?
Yeah, the lineup set. Or is there still room for people to join? How's that work?
If there are those that are interested, I always keep half hour segments between, like if there's a full band that's up, there'll mm-hmm. be an individual that's up for half an hour, mm-hmm. and then there's a half hour before the next band begins. So okay. there's always an opening. It's always best to get with me before, and we put that info out mm-hmm. way in advance. And I've been doing this for, what, 6-7 years? So,
yeah.
I mean, it's out there. My number ain't changed, y'all. So, but it's 270-589-4868. And it's great to hear from you if you want to give me a call. And it is, yeah, it's open to the public. There's no fee to play. You don't get paid to play either. So it's yeah. all for the benefit. This whole event is for Art in the Park, is to benefit the food pantry.
Yeah.
That is ran by Grayson County Alliance. Feeds hundreds of families every yes. week. I mean, they offer services. They've recently renovated the building. Services they offer, like come tax time.
Yes.
Yes. Lighten that burden, even if it's going in and finding out what you need to bring back with you the next time.
Yeah. Where, I'm just, know. It's awesome what they're doing there. We've had Debbie on, and you know, I wanted to get you on to talk about the music aspect because she talked about the overview and talked yeah. about what they're doing at the Food Alliance with the growth they're having.
It's huge.
The goals they yeah. have with their financial literacy program coming up later this year. And it's just an amazing opportunity and resource for our county. So this is just a very good opportunity for honestly everybody, because you can come and find something that you like. If you're a creative at all, yeah. love art at all, you're gonna appreciate something.
You're gonna walk that artist row where you have these artists set up, and it blows your mind. Like walking through every year, it's like I never bring enough with me.
Oh,
because there's gonna be something else that's just unique and one of a kind. You're like, oh, I love it. And yeah. everything's very well priced. You're not going to go through there and like, well, I've got to bring $3,000. You're like, you'd be surprised what you walk out when you bring $30 and you just go look for something that really speaks to you.
Yeah.
Something that you're going to put in your home, your whatever it is, that's just going to brighten your day every time you look at it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just some beautiful things, and you can add that into your life, which is not about things at all.
Yeah.
But man, it means a lot to an artist when you've poured your heart into something, you've created something, and somebody walks along and they feel connected to it as well.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's beautiful. That means a lot to the person that made it.
Yeah.
But you've got people that have glass works. You've got sketch artists, people that paint with different kinds of mediums. You've got the guy with the chainsaw hacking up the tree, like he's gonna do a live exhibit.
Wow.
Lord willing, and the creek don't rise again. Cause we know it was risen last night. So there's, we've had steel worker, like he did like all these structures of things. And I mean, you're just like, this dude's cool. And like he requested to be near the stage. And I was like, that means a lot. Because usually people request to be further from me. So it meant a lot. He didn't care to be right up front, you know? But yeah, he had some cool stuff. Like barrels that had been, you know, like designs and things. So when you burn the wood in there, and he had some set up in front of his tent that was set up, you know, like it was cool. So neat. And you're like, oh man. So we got a few structures, or you know, I'm going blank on the word, maybe I should sip this coffee more. But yeah, we got a few for the yard Sarah fell in love with. And I mean, it's just unique stuff, man. Like you just took old this and that and a torch and made something really, really neat,
cool out of it.
Yeah,
yeah. We'll talk about, I will say, go to Art in the Park. And I really am planning on
it. It's a free event. I mean, bring your blanket. bring your chairs, set up camp up in the grass. There's plenty of room where you can go and just spend a day in the park. Go and walk Artist Row. Go and look through what's there. Let your little ones go to the craft thing. There's going to be food set up, but you can bring a cooler and bring a picnic. Yeah. I mean, like, make a day of it.
There's options for everybody. I'm excited really about the music, though, too, because I don't know if I have been in a long time.
Well, it's all day. So the lineup that we have, I will open it up and read it for ya. So at 10, we've got Teresa Jarbo. You know that cool lady.
Yeah,
so she's bringing a choir up in there. And I think they're making history being the first performance at Alice Theater that has reopened in Litchfield.
Yes, I saw
Pretty neat. Yeah, so the awesome homeschool choir is going with that.
I just love it.
I'm excited for them. I mean,
that's
come
so
on.
Cool.
Get it. And then 11, we got Slug Merlin and Friends. I asked the name of his group, and he said Kentucky Death Machine. And I was like, that's what you're going with? And he was like, yeah. I was like, okay. So it's Slug Merlin and Friends is what I put. I was like, okay, well, no.
We'll cover that in prayer.
Yeah, like, okay. But they're kind of rockabilly, you know, bluegrassy and by my demands, not request, but demand, family-friendly lyrics. Or I'm going to put some death in your set, and it's going to be over.
It's going to be cut off.
I have power on the board, so, I mean, I'll just click it off and be like, you're done. Get out. I told you. It's a family event, man. Get out of here. Anyway. There's a lake right down there. Let's do a little repentance baptism, shall we? But we've got Dawson Stevenson coming up at noon, and at 1, Millerstown. Jamie Johnson's the lead singer of that. Okay. And he also does some Elvis impersonations and things, so he's good, you know. He's good. But they're kind of I don't know. Rockabilly. This is Kentucky. Let's just put Billy on everything. Okay? And then you've got Less In Downs, yours truly, at 2:00. And I'll be doing a set of some live music. And it is all for the glory of God. Every bit of it. So it's going to be a lot of original music. And just maybe familiarizing some ears with some songs they haven't heard before.
Yeah.
And then Patrick Lampton's going to be finishing up the day at 3:00, and he is a fantastic guitarist, very soulful, very, very bluesy, but just all around terrific person.
Yeah.
And we've known each other since high school, and, we were in a social studies, I think it was, or history. I'm trying to remember what class it was. Meredith was the teacher. If you're out there, Meredith, give us a call. Tell us what this was. But we were supposed to give a whole talk about someone we felt had, you know, done something in society, someone that had made an impression on society in the past. And I was in the middle of this love affair with Janis Joplin. We all make mistakes, okay? But I just fell in love with her voice and the soul in it. And Patrick Lampton was up before me, and he gave a whole thing on Stevie Ray Vaughan. So he brought his amp in and his electric guitar
to school.
And the high school was under construction, so we had like just partitions between a lot to make little classrooms and separate. We didn't have the high school they have now that's all nice with like doors on all the rooms kind of thing. So the sound carried. And so he played Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, Texas Flood. And then it was my turn, and I got up and I did some Janis Joplin, you know, baby. And yeah, I don't know where I went mentally in that moment. I wound up on my knees at one point, like flinging my hair around,
praying. Future you.
It's before I found Jesus. I wish I found him sooner. You choked. Yeah. So, Yeah, we bonded that day. We bonded that day.
That's awesome.
Because they were like
bringing back, you know, old friends and crossing paths and.
Yeah, I mean it's the beauty of a hometown, and it's just one of the many things that I love about where we live. Like, first of all, it's beautiful. It's growing. People invest in this community. They want to see it grow. They want to, you know, see other people introduced to how much and how easy it is to love it, you know, and seeing all the new businesses going up in Litchfield. I mean, it means a lot.
Yeah.
Because we all loved it. And now there's just even more, you know, but it's exciting to see all the new stuff.
It is.
Up. Yeah.
And it, you know, a healthy community is a community that's connected and in supporting one another.
Absolutely.
Supporting each other's businesses, supporting each other's events. And I'm thankful that, you know, we're in this world. We're not of this world, but we're still in this world. We're walking
through
it.
And we should be making a difference. And a lot of these businesses that are opening and things that are flourishing are owned by Christians.
Yeah.
Christian people that love the Lord, that love Jesus, that love people, that love this community. And
we need more.
Yeah. Can't have too many of those, you know?
And that's part of being creative, too. And part of just dreaming with the Lord is I'm believing for more, you know, more Christians that have callings to things, to businesses, and to just dream with the Lord in that way.
Because I mean, there's the seven mountains, you know, and I feel like there's several of them we've just kind of stared at like, nah, not really, though. Really, though. And you've got the rest of the world that are see a mountain and they just look to the top of it like, I'm going to conquer this thing. I'm going to conquer media. I'm going to conquer television. I'm going to conquer, you know, like all of these aspects. Yeah. I'm going to conquer business. And we just need to have more of a conquering mindset.
Yeah. Amen. That's been a consistent. I know a Sunday school group here is studying, or not the Sunday school, their Bible study is doing a teaching on the seven mountains. And then I think at the National Day of Prayer, they actually, that might have been a theme that was talked about was the seven mountains.
And so it should be.
It keeps coming up.
It should be. I mean, it's a fact. It's biblical. It's factual. It's right there in your face. And as soon as you see it, you can't unsee it. And you realize, oh my gosh, we're supposed to be driven. We're supposed to be out there. And the difference is we haven't pushed the truth the way that lies have been pushed in our society.
Yeah.
We don't push back. We think, oh, I'm supposed to turn the cheek. You know, like, no, honey. Sometimes you turn a cheek. Sometimes you turn over a table. Read your Bible.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to be like, no, that is not, this is not what this is supposed to be. And I'm not supposed to stand for it.
Yeah.
So there's some things, you know, there's some truth we need to get out there. And as a mom and seeing what's going on, it's like, yeah, we need to talk to these things and we need to face these things and be, you know, battling some truth. Because I mean, there was this thing I read about, you know, witnessing to someone and them saying, well, if God is so good, why is there all this bad in the world? And you're like, no, the Holy Spirit is an individual thing.
Mm-hmm.
So any of the bad you see is a lack of God being shown. That is a lack of love. When you see the hate, there's a lack of.
Yeah.
It's like the darkness doesn't exist. There's not. It is a lack of light.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Cold doesn't exist. It's a lack of heat. That's why it's a negative. Well,
yeah.
So there's
negative.
Some things are just a lack of something else.
Yeah. And we need more. We need more Christians out in these places. I'm ready for it. Now we have like 5 minutes left. Tell us about your, if you want to talk about either your song, like what the,
talk
about that a little more, or the, songwriting that you just got to do with
CCM. Oh my gosh, so much to talk about. Yeah, I was invited to CCM magazine in Nashville this last Friday, and I was going to be down there on a way to a Christian songwriting retreat called Recreate. And over the weekend, wrote 3 songs that I love. And Sarah's already singing. My little girl's already singing along to one of them. She's like, that's my favorite ever. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, mine too. And your new one's always your favorite. I'm not going to lie. It's always the new one that's your favorite. And, yeah, it was fantastic. It was got to meet several great folks. Got to write with David Delgado, who has been in the industry for ages. And Casey McGinty, and got to meet him. And, I mean, the names could go on and on. I don't know if they'll mean anything to anyone. So we'll just say I met some fantastic people and got to play two songs. And they filmed it at CCM. So they've put Power in Us out there, which is the awesome. One that just released in April. And then another song that we'll release shortly. We'll let that one shine for a moment and get that message out there, and we'll get the next one.
Yeah.
But this song that's releasing this next Friday, May 17th, day before Art in the Park, is called Weightless on the Waves. And it is just about that revelation of surrender when things are just kind of, you feel beaten over and over again, or you feel like you're getting in over your head.
Yeah.
Or you've been fighting a long time and you're just tired and you don't feel like you can do it anymore. And it's created in a way, water is created in the way that if you just take a deep breath and you put your arms out, you float.
Yeah.
So I originally titled it Wait and Wade, like wading on the water. And I mean, it was just too... like literate, like there was too, they sound too familiar. It was too hard of a title. And I'm like, I say Weightless in the Waves more than anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know why I make things so complicated title wise. And some people will put a title on a song that's not even in the song, you know?
Yeah.
Andrew on the drive here this morning, he said, you know what the title of the song is because they say it over and over again. And I was like, you would think, but that's great advice, whether you know you're giving me advice or not. I'm taking it. But yeah, Weightless on the Waves. There's one part in the song where it says, I've known hard times, I've known better, and I don't want to be anything other than weightless on the waves. Yeah. Awesome. So, I could go on because I love the song.
Yeah.
But it's got a great feel to it. It's just a jam. I'm just saying. It's all for the glory of God.
A jam and a message. Like,
it is a huge message.
I'm like, I'm ready to float, right? Lord. Let's just float.
I mean, the sound of the song, you just want to float. You don't. You really don't.
And it's summer.
It just feels good. And, you know, I've been writing deeper worship, and that is in the next project, the next album that's being put together is a worship album, and it's really deep. And I feel like songs that God has given me that have, you know, it's been recorded. We're just down to mixing and mastering and releasing at this point. And this is the third release out of seven of this project I've been working on for a year. So
wow, glory to God.
I know. Thank like you, it's Jesus. It's the getting that message out there, and I feel like this is the way of casting that net
getting further. Your foot in the door,
casting it further. But I mean, even in the gospel, there's always that outer, inner, holy of holies.
Yes.
There's always layers to things, levels of things, you know. You enter the gates here, you enter the courts here. And I feel like this is the same way with the message of the music. I'm gonna not cast a broader net if it is intimate, deep worship. And you're casting it out for people that have no idea what worship is. They have no idea who Jesus is. So I feel like these songs are my wider net.
Mm-hmm.
They're wider. It's going to cast further. And we're going to pull them in.
And then
you get them in the boat. You get them in. You get them deeper in. So we can release deeper worship. So this song might have brought you to the message, but this next song is going to take you deeper into
bring
the message.
You through.
Yeah. Amen, girl. Amen.
So we are out of time. I'm excited about this. May 17th.
Yes,
is
ma'am.
The release date for Weightless on the Waves.
Yeah.
So we will be back with you all tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time on Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
The Box 2 Radio Network, WBFI 91.